Chapter 15. Kinslayer. The way the strangely faded distant hills seemed to slide toward Rand when he looked straight at them made his head spin, unless he wrapped himself in the void. Sometimes the emptiness crept up on him unawares, but he avoided it like death. Better to be dizzy than share the void with that uneasy light. Better by far to stare at the faded land. Still, he tried not to look at anything too far away unless it lay right ahead of them. Huron wore a fixed look as he concentrated on sniffing the trail, as if he were trying to ignore the land the trail crossed. When the sniffer did notice what lay around them, he would give a start and wipe his hands on his coat, then push his nose forward like a hound, eyes glazing, excluding everything else. Loyal rode slumped in his saddle and frowned as he glanced around, ears twitching uneasily, muttering to himself. Again they crossed land blackened and burned, even the soil crunching under the horse's hooves, as if it had been seared. The burned swaths, sometimes a mile wide, sometimes only a few hundred paces, all ran east and west, as straight as an arrow's flight. Twice Rand saw the end of a burn, once as they rode over it, once as they passed nearby. They tapered to points at the ends. At least the ends he saw were so, but he suspected they were all the same. Once he had watched Watley Eldon decorate a cart for Sunday back home in Emmons Field, Watt painting the scenes in bright colors and the intricate scroll work that surrounded them. For the borders, Watt let the point of his brush touch the cart, making a thin line that grew thicker as he pressed harder, then thinner again as he eased up. That was how the land looked, as if someone had streaked it with a monstrous brush of fire. Nothing grew where the burns were, though some burns, at least, had the feel of a thing long done. Not so much as a hint of char remained in the air there, not a whiff even when he leaned down to break off a black twig and smell it. Old, yet nothing had come in to reclaim the land. Black gave way to green, and green to black, along knife-edge lines. In its own way, the rest of the land lay as dead as the burns, though grass covered the ground and leaves covered the trees. Everything had that faded look, like clothes too often washed and too long left in the sun. There were no birds or animals, not that Rand saw or heard. No hawk wheeling in the sky, no bark of a hunting fox, no bird singing. Nothing rustled in the grass or lit on a tree branch. No bees or butterflies. Several times they crossed streams, the water shallow, though often it had dug itself a deep gully with steep banks the horses had to scramble down and climb on the other side. The water ran clear except for the mud the horses' hooves stirred, but never a minnow or tadpole wriggled out of the roiling. Not even a water spider danced across the surface, or a hovering lacewing. The water was drinkable, which was just as well, since their water bottles could not last forever. Rand tasted it first and made Loyal and Huron wait to see if anything happened to him before he let them drink. He had gotten them into this. It was his responsibility. The water was cool and wet, but that was the best that could be said for it. It tasted flat, as if it had been boiled. Loyal made a face, and the horses did not like it either, shaking their heads and drinking reluctantly. There was one sign of life, at least Rand thought it must be so. Twice he saw a wispy streak crawling across the sky like a line drawn with cloud. The lines were too straight to be natural, it seemed, but he could not imagine what might make them. He did not mention the lines to others. Perhaps they did not see, Huron intent on the trail as he was, and Loyal drawn in on himself. They said nothing of the lines, at any rate. When they had ridden half the morning, Loyal abruptly swung down from his huge horse without a word and strode to a stand of giant's broom, their trunks splitting into many thick branches, stiff and straight, not a pace above the ground. At the top, all split again into leafy brush that gave them their name. Rand pulled Red up and started to ask what he was doing, but something about the Ogier's manner, as if he himself were uncertain, kept Rand silent. After staring at the tree, Loyal put his hands on a trunk and began to sing in a deep, soft rumble. Rand had heard Ogier tree song once, when Loyal had sung to a dying tree and brought it back to life. And he had heard of sung wood, objects wrought from trees by the tree song. The talent was fading, Loyal said. He was one of the few who had the ability now. That was what made sung wood even more sought after and treasured. When he had heard Loyal sing before, it had been as if the earth itself sang. But now the Ogier murmured his song almost diffidently, and the land echoed it in a whisper. It seemed pure song, music without words, at least none that Rand could make out. If there were words, they faded into the music just as water pours into a stream. Huron gasped and stared. Rand was not sure what it was Loyal did, or how. Soft as the song was, it caught him up hypnotically, filling his mind almost the way the void did. Loyal ran his big hands along the trunk, singing, caressing with his voice as well as his fingers. The trunk now seemed smoother somehow, as if his stroking were shaping it. Rand blinked. He was sure the piece Loyal worked on had had branches at its top just like the others, but now it stopped in a rounded end, right above the Ogier's head. Rand opened his mouth, but the song quieted him. It seemed so familiar, that song, as if he should know it. Abruptly, Loyal's voice rose to a climax. Almost a hymn of thanks, it sounded, and ended, fading as a breeze fades.
"Burn me," Huron breathed. He looked stunned. "Burn me. I never heard anything like... burn me."
In his hands, Loyal held a staff as tall as he was, and as thick as Rand's forearm, smooth and polished. Where the trunk had been on the giant's broom was a small stem of new growth. Rand took a deep breath.
"Always something new. Always something I didn't expect. And sometimes it isn't horrible."
He watched Loyal mount, resting the staff across his saddle in front of him, and wondered why the Ogier wanted a staff at all, since they were riding. Then he saw the thick rod, not as big as it was, but in relation to the Ogier, saw the way Loyal handled it. "A quarterstaff," he said, surprised. "I didn't know Ogier carried weapons, Loyal."
"Usually we do not," the Ogier replied almost curtly. "Usually. The price has always been too high."
He hefted the huge quarterstaff and wrinkled his broad nose with distaste.
"Elder Haman would surely say I am putting a long handle on my axe. But I am not just being hasty or rash, Rand. This place..."
He shivered and his ears twitched.
"We'll find our way back soon," Rand said, trying to sound confident.
Loyal spoke as if he had not heard.
"Everything is linked, Rand. Whether it lives or not, whether it thinks or not, everything that is fits together. The tree does not think, but it is part of the whole, and the whole has a feeling. I can't explain any more than I can explain what being happy is, but...
Emerson Realist.
Rand, this land was glad for a weapon to be made. Glad."
"The light shine on us," Huron murmured nervously, "and the Creator's hand shelter us. Though we go to the last embrace of the Mother, the light illumine our way." "The light shine on us," Huron murmured nervously, "and the Creator's hand shelter us. Though we go to the last embrace of the Mother, the light illumine our way."
He kept repeating the catechism, as if it had a charm to protect him. Rand resisted the impulse to look around. He definitely did not look up. All it would take to break them all was another of those smoky lines across the sky right at that moment.
"There's nothing here to hurt us," he said firmly, "and we'll keep a good watch and make sure nothing does."
He wanted to laugh at himself, sounding so certain. He was not certain about anything, but watching the others, Loyal with his tufted ears drooping, and Huron trying not to look at anything, he knew one of them had to seem to be sure, at least, or fear and uncertainty would break them all apart.
"The wheel weaves as the wheel wills."
He squeezed that thought out.
"Nothing to do with the wheel. Nothing to with Tavirin, or Aes Sedai, or the dragon. It's just the way it is, that's all. Loyal, are you done here?"
The Ogier nodded, regretfully rubbing the quarterstaff. Rand turned to Huron.
"Do you still have the trail?" "I do, Lord Rand, I do that."
"Then let's keep on with it. Once we find Fane and the Dark Friends, why, we'll go home heroes with the dagger from At and the Horn of Valir. Lead out, Huron."
"Heroes? I'll settle for all of us getting out of here alive."
"I do not like this place," the Ogier announced flatly.
He held the quarterstaff as if he expected to have to use it soon. "As well we don't mean to stay here, then, isn't it?" Rand said. Huron barked a laugh, as if he had made a joke, but Loyal gave him a level look.
"As well we don't, Rand."
Yet as they rode on southward, he could see that his casual assumption that they would get home had picked them both up a little. Huron sat a bit straighter in his saddle, and Loyal's ears did not seem so wilted. It was no time or place to let them know he shared their fear, so he kept it to himself and fought it by himself. Huron kept his humor through the morning, murmuring, "As well we don't mean to stay," then chuckling until Rand felt like telling him to be quiet. Toward midday, the sniffer did fall silent, though, shaking his head and frowning, and Rand found he wished the man was still repeating his words and laughing. "Is there something wrong with the trail, Huron?" he asked. The sniffer shrugged, looking troubled.
"Yes, Lord Rand. And then again, no, as you might say."
"It must be one or the other. Have you lost the trail? No shame if you have. You said it was weak to start. If we can't find the dark friends, we will find another stone and get back that way." "Light, anything but that." Rand kept his face smooth. "If dark friends can come here and leave, so can we."
"Oh, I haven't lost it, Lord Rand. I can still pick out the stink of them. It isn't that. It's just... it's..."
With a grimace, Huron burst out.
"It's like I'm remembering it, Lord Rand, instead of smelling it. But I'm not. There's dozens of trails crossing it all the time. Dozens and dozens, and all sorts of smells of violence. Some of them fresh, almost. Only washed out like everything else. This morning, right after we left the hollow, I could have sworn there were hundreds slaughtered right under my feet, just minutes before. But there weren't any bodies, and not a mark on the grass but our own hoof prints. A thing like that couldn't happen without the ground being torn up and bloodied. But there wasn't a mark. It's all like that, my lord. But I am following the trail. I am. This place just has me all on edge. That's it. That must be it."
Rand glanced at Loyal. The Ogier did come up with the oddest knowledge at times, but he looked as puzzled as Huron. Rand made his voice more confident than he felt.
"I know you are doing your best, Huron. We are all of us on edge. Just follow as best you can, and we'll find them." "As you say, Lord Rand."
Huron booted his horse forward.
"As you say."
But by nightfall, there was still no sign of the dark friends, and Huron said the trail was fainter still. The sniffer kept muttering to himself about
remembering.
There had been no sign, really no sign. Rand was not as good a tracker as Uno, but any boy in the Two Rivers was expected to track well enough to find a lost sheep or a rabbit for dinner. He had seen nothing. It was as if no living thing had ever disturbed the land before they came. There should have been something if the dark friends were ahead of them, but Huron kept following the trail he said he smelled. As the sun touched the horizon, they made camp in a stand of trees untouched by the burn, eating from their saddlebags. Flat bread and dried meat washed down with flat-tasting water. Hardly a filling meal, tough and far from tasty. Rand thought they might have enough for a week. After that... Huron ate slowly, determinedly. But Loyal gulped his down with a grimace and settled back with his pipe, the big quarterstaff close at hand. Rand kept their fire small and well hidden in the trees. Fane and his dark friends and Trollocs might be close enough to see a fire, for all of Huron's worries about the oddness of their trail. It seemed odd to him that he had begun to think of them as Fane's dark friends, Fane's Trollocs. Fane was just a madman. Then why did they rescue him? Fane had been part of the Dark One's scheme to find him. Perhaps it had something to do with that. Then why is he running instead of chasing me? And what killed that Fade? What happened in that room full of flies? And those eyes watching me in Faldara, and that wind catching me like a beetle in pine sap. No, no, Balzaman has to be dead. The Aes Sedai did not believe it. Moraine did not believe it, nor the Amelin. Stubbornly, he refused to think about it any longer. All he had to think about now was finding that dagger from Matt. finding Fane and the horn.
It's never over, Althor.
The voice was like a thin breeze whispering in the back of his head, a thin, icy murmur working its way into the crevices of his mind. He almost sought the void to escape it, but remembering what waited for him there, he pushed down the desire. In the half-dark of twilight, he worked the forms with his sword, the way Lan had taught, though without the void. Parting the silk, hummingbird kisses the honey rose, heron waiting in the rushes for balance. Losing himself in the swift, sure movements, forgetting for a time where he was, he worked until sweat covered him. Yet when he was done, it all came back. Nothing had changed. The weather was not cold, but he shivered and pulled his cloak around him as he hunched by the fire. The others caught his mood, and they finished eating quickly and in silence. No one complained when he kicked dirt over the last fitful flames. Rand took the first watch himself, walking the edges of the copse with his bow, sometimes easing his sword in its scabbard. The chill moon was almost full, standing high in the blackness, and the night was as silent as the day had been, as empty. Empty was the right word. The land was as empty as a dusky milk crock. It was hard to believe there was anyone in the whole world, in this world, except for the three of them. Hard to believe even the dark friends were there, somewhere ahead. To keep himself company, he unwrapped Tom Marilyn's cloak, exposing the harp and flute in their hard leather cases atop the many-colored patches. He took the gold and silver flute from its case, remembering the gleeman teaching him as he fingered it, and played a few notes of The Wind That Shakes the Willow, softly so as not to wake the others. Even soft, the sad sound was too loud in that place, too real. With a sigh, he replaced the flute and did up the bundle again. He held the watch long into the night, letting the others sleep. He did not know how late it was when he suddenly realized a fog had risen. Close to the ground it lay, thick, making Huron and Loyal indistinct mounds, seeming to hump out of clouds. Thinner higher up, it still shrouded the land around them, hiding everything except the nearest trees. The moon seemed viewed through watered silk. Anything at all could come right up to them unseen. He touched his sword.
"Swords do no good against me, Luz Theron. You should know that."
The fog swirled around Rand's feet as he spun, the sword coming into his hands, Heronmark blade upright before him. The void leaped up inside him. For the first time, he barely noticed the tainted light of Sidene. A shadowy figure drew nearer through the mist, walking with a tall staff. Behind it, as if the shadow's shadow were vast, the fog darkened till it was blacker than night. Rand's skin crawled. Closer the figure came, until it resolved into the shape of a man, clothed and gloved in black, with a black silk mask covering his face. And the shadow came with it. His staff was black, too, as if the wood had been charred, yet smooth and shining like water by moonlight. For an instant, the eye holes of the mask glowed as if fire stood behind them rather than eyes. But Rand did not need that to know who it was.
"Balzaman," he breathed. "This is a dream. It has to be. I fell asleep and—"
Balzaman laughed like the roar of an open furnace.
"You always try to deny what is, Luz Theron. If I stretch out my hand, I can touch you, kinslayer. I can always touch you. Always and everywhere."
"I am not the dragon. My name is Randall—"
Rand clamped his teeth shut to stop himself.
"Oh, I know the name you use now, Luz Theron. I know every name you have used through age after age, long before you were even the Kinslayer."
Balzaman's voice began to rise in intensity. Sometimes the fires of his eyes flared so high that Rand could see them through the openings in the silk mask, see them like endless seas of flame.
"I know you. Know your blood and your line back to the first spark of life that ever was. Back to the first moment. You can never hide from me. Never! We are tied together as surely as two sides of the same coin. Ordinary men may hide in the sweep of the pattern, but Taviran stand out like beacon fires on a hill. And you, You stand out as if 10,000 shining arrows stood in the sky to point you out. You are mine, and ever in the reach of my hand.
Father of lies, Rand managed.
Despite the void, his tongue wanted to cleave to the roof of his mouth.
Light, please let it be a dream.
The thought skittered outside the emptiness.
Even one of those dreams that isn't a dream. He can't really be standing in front of me. The Dark One is sealed in Shael Ghul, sealed by the Creator at the moment of creation.
He knew too much of the truth for it to help.
You're well named. If you could just take me, why haven't you? Because you cannot. I walk in the light, and you cannot touch me.
Balsamon leaned on his staff and looked at Rand a moment, then moved to stand over Loyal and Huron, peering down at them. The vast shadow moved with him. He did not disturb the fog, Rand saw. He moved, the staff swung with his steps, but the gray mist did not swirl and eddy around his feet as it did around Rand's. That gave him heart. Perhaps Balsamon was really not there. Perhaps it was a dream.
You find odd followers, Balsamon mused. You always did. These two, the girl who tries to watch over you, a poor guardian and weak kinslayer. If she had a lifetime to grow, she would never grow strong enough for you to hide behind.
Girl? Who? Moraine is surely not a girl.
I don't know what you're talking about, father of lies. You lie and lie, and even when you tell the truth, you twist it to a lie.
Do I, Luz Theron? You know what you are, who you are. I have told you, and so have those women of Tar-Valon.
Rand shifted, and Balsamon gave a laugh like a small thunderclap.
They think themselves safe in their white tower, but my followers number even some of their own. The Aes Sedai called Moraine told you who you are, did she not? Did she lie? Or is she one of mine? The White Tower means to use you like a hound on a leash. Do I lie? Do I lie when I say you seek the Horn of Valyr?
He laughed again. Calm of the void or no, it was all Rand could do not to cover his ears.
Sometimes old enemies fight so long that they become allies and never realize it. They think they strike at you, but they have become so closely linked, it is as if you guided the blow yourself.
You don't guide me, Rand said. I deny you.
I have 1,000 strings tied to you, kinslayer, each one finer than silk and stronger than steel. Time has tied 1,000 cords between us. The battle we two have fought, do you remember any part of that? Do you have any glimmering that we have fought before? Battles without number, back to the beginning of time? I know much that you do not. That battle will soon end. The last battle is coming. The last, Luz Theron. Do you really think you can avoid it? You poor shivering worm. You will serve me or die. And this time the cycle will not begin anew with your death. The grave belongs to the great lord of the dark. This time, if you die, you will be destroyed utterly. This time the wheel will be broken, whatever you do, and the world remade to a new mold. Serve me! Serve Shaitan, or be destroyed forever!
With the utterance of that name, the air seemed to thicken. The darkness behind Balsamon swelled and grew, threatening to swallow everything. Rand felt it engulfing him, colder than ice and hotter than coals both at the same time, blacker than death, sucking him into the depths of it, overwhelming the world. He gripped his sword hilt till his knuckles hurt.
I deny you, and I deny your power. I walk in the light. The light preserves us, and we shelter in the palm of the Creator's hand.
He blinked. Balsamon still stood there, and the great darkness still hung behind him. But it was as if all the rest had been illusion.
Do you want to see my face?
It was a whisper. Rand swallowed.
No.
You should.
A gloved hand went to the black mask.
No!
The mask came away. It was a man's face, horribly burned. Yet between the black-edged red crevices crossing those features, the skin looked healthy and smooth. Dark eyes looked at Rand. Cruel lips smiled with a flash of white teeth.
"Look at me, Kinslayer, and see the hundredth part of your own fate."
For a moment, eyes and mouth became doorways into endless caverns of fire.
"This is what the power unchecked can do, even to me. But I heal, Luz Theron. I know the paths to greater power. It will burn you like a moth flying into a furnace."
"I will not touch it!" Rand felt the void around him, felt Sidene. "I won't!"
"You cannot stop yourself."
"Leave me alone!"
"Power."
Balazamon's voice became soft, insinuating.
"You can have power again, Luz Theron. You are linked to it now, this moment. I know it. I can see it. Feel it, Luz Theron. Feel the glow inside you. Feel the power that could be yours. All you must do is reach out for it. But the shadow is there between you and it. Madness and death. You need not die, Luz Theron. Not ever again."
"No,"
Rand said, but the voice went on, burrowing into him.
"I can teach you to control that power so that it does not destroy you. No one else lives who can teach you that. The great lord of the dark can shelter you from the madness. The power can be yours, and you can live forever. Forever! All you must do in return is serve. Only serve. Simple words. I am yours, great lord. And power will be yours. Power beyond anything those women of Tarvalen dream of. And life eternal, if you will only offer yourself up and serve."
Rand licked his lips. "Not to go mad, not to die."
"Never! I walk in the light," he grated hoarsely, "and you can never touch me."
"Touch you, Luz Theron. Touch you. I can consume you. Taste it and know as I knew."
Those dark eyes became fire again, and that mouth, flame that blossomed and grew until it seemed brighter than a summer sun. Grew, and suddenly Rand's sword glowed as if just drawn from the forge. He cried out as the hilt burned his hands, screamed and dropped the sword. And the fog caught fire, fire that leaped, fire that burned everything. Yelling, Rand beat at his clothes as they smoked and charred and fell in ashes. Beat with his hands that blackened and shriveled as naked flesh cracked and peeled away in the flames. He screamed. Pain beat at the void inside him, and he tried to crawl deeper into the emptiness. The glow was there, the tainted light just out of sight. Half mad, no longer caring what it was, he reached for Sidene, tried to wrap it around him, tried to hide in it from the burning and the pain. As suddenly as the fire began, it was gone. Rand stared wonderingly at his hand, sticking out of the red sleeve of his coat. There was not so much as a singe on the wool. I imagined it all. Frantically, he looked around. Balzamon was gone. Huron shifted in his sleep. The Sniffer and Loyal were still only two mounds sticking up out of the low fog.
I did imagine it.
Before relief had a chance to grow, pain stabbed his right hand, and he turned it up to look. There, across the palm, was branded a heron. The heron from the hilt of his sword. Angry and red. As neatly done as though drawn from an artist's skill. Fumbling a kerchief from his coat pocket, he wrapped it around his hand. The hand throbbed now. The void would help with that. He was aware of the pain in the void, but he did not feel it. But he put the thought out of his head. Twice now, unknowing, and once on purpose. He could not forget that. He had tried to channel the one power while he was in the void. It was with that Balzamon wanted to tempt him. It was that Moraine and the Ammerlin seat wanted him to do. He would not.